All right, welcome back to Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by killerfrogs.com. It's been a while, but as always, it's myself, Davis Wilson. With me is Nick Giramani, and it's been a little bit. Like I said, we've taken a bit of a break, but in our brief hiatus, there's been a lot of news that has come down, some transfer news, some visit news. We'll get into all that. And we've got another really good guest at the end of this one, David Punch, the sixth best recruit in TCU history, who's a part of the 2024 class, which is the best class in TCU history, joins the pod. And we talk about his recruitment, you know, what kind of player he is, what he brings to TCU, all that stuff. It was a great interview, so stick around for the end for that. But for now, let's just get right into some Big 12 slash TCU news. Nick, how are you doing? And what do you think about some of these transfers that we're going to get into?
I'm doing great. I'm happy with what TCU's done. You know, we're in a way better spot this week than we were last pod, mm-hmm. for sure. Filling out the roster wise and just adding talent that fits what we want to do. And like you said, that Punch interview was great. Like all the guys we've been able to talk to seem like they've got a good thing going on and they're excited. And I'm excited for this like youth movement we got going on because it was another great interview, like you said. But yeah, men's and women's are going crazy in the portal. Obviously, even women's probably outshining men's in that aspect. But yeah, I'm excited to get into it. The Big 12 got better and I think TCU got a lot better too.
Yeah. So I guess the first thing we can kind of start with is Kansas. Kansas has been pretty busy the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
The biggest news, I would say, although there's a lot of big news, but I would say the biggest news is that Hunter Dickinson is returning to Lawrence. He'll be back, which is a big deal for them because we all know the type of player he is. They added, we'll get it. I guess I'll just mention the transfers they picked up now. They picked up AJ Storr from Wisconsin, Rylan Griffin from Alabama, Zeke Mayo, all heading to Kansas to join Hunter Dickinson. We talked a ton during the year about how Kansas's depth was going to be the death of them. And it was, and it seems like Bill Self realized that, and he has taken that pretty seriously. And he has added a ton of guys that are going to help a lot with, some star power and some depth. What do you think about what Kansas has done the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I'm trying to not overhype them just because last year they were preseason number one and they fell flat because of their depth. Mm-hmm. But it's hard not to look at this team as like a pretty good margin, the best team in the country. I mean, you're bringing back DeJuan Harris, you're bringing back Hunter Dickinson, you're bringing back KJ Adams. That's probably as good as a returning talent as anybody. Maybe like Iowa State could rival them there. But and then you add AJ Storr, one of the best transfers in the country, Rylan Griffin, one of those, as you said, you listed all these guys. They're bringing back El Marco Jackson. They're bringing back guys that we've seen play for them before. They got Kugel out of Florida. It's a stacked roster. And I think when Self was saying in the presser after the loss to Gonzaga that he was focused on next year, he meant it. And that team is stacked. And I think they should be deserving as the preseason number one next year. Unless something crazy happens, because that's an all-star team on that roster.
Yeah, I mean, they went to work in the portal. All three of the guys, AJ Storr, Zeke Mayo, and Rylan Griffin, are like immediate impact guys who are going to make them better as soon as they get to Lawrence. So as much as I hate to say it, I think they've done a really good job, and they've addressed that depth problem that we've talked about, and they still – you know, probably do have some question marks, but we know for sure they have a ton of talent. And that's kind of the first step, I think, of having a great team is the talent, and they've got it. So I'm excited. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Next up, the other big one, was Jeremy Roach transfers from Duke to Baylor. This kind of came after Scott Drew. There were some rumors about him heading to Kentucky, and it seems like that kind of Kentucky scare may have helped Baylor with, you know, the NIL stuff, which I don't think they were, you know, super great in before, but I think that it seems like getting Scott Drew to stay, a big part of that was making some promises about how NIL is going to help them. And they immediately land Jeremy Roach, who's a big time player from Duke. What do you think about, first of all, what do you think about Jeremy Roach and how does he fit with Baylor?
Yeah, I think with the Scott Drew thing too, just knowing that your coach is going to be loyal to the program and committing to a coach for when you, yeah, when you know he's going to be there is such a big thing, because you know what coach, you know the system you're running in, you know the guys who will probably be around you. So I think that's big, knowing that you have a sturdy presence there with Drew. But yeah, I mean, Baylor lost a ton from last year. They lost Ray J. Dennis, one of those point guards in the country. They lost their star freshman, Jacoby Walter. Eve Misi gone. Jalen Bridges hit the draft. So they had to reload, and they have. Jaden Nunn and Langston Love are still there in the backcourt. But yeah, Jeremy Roach, I mean, he's been at Duke for 4 years or something, and he's basically started every game he's been there. I feel like he's been there for forever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be weird to see him in a different uniform. But yeah, I mean, they just reloaded. We're at a point with Baylor where they're going to be competitive every year, and they're going to reload with guys. So I don't think it's a shock by any means, because I don't think any transfer leaving is a shock at this point in the yeah. portal season. There's just so many going around. But yeah, I mean, they're going to be dangerous. They could be having around like a top 10, top 15 team, you know, coming into next year. So I think you have Kansas, Iowa State, and Baylor as probably your top three.
Yeah.
In the Big 12 right now. Maybe you put Arizona up there too with the mm-hmm. new Big 12. But yeah, I mean, those three teams have done work. Roach, as you said, was a massive gap, but it just shows the Big 12 just keeps getting better and better, which is crazy because we say it after every year. Mm-hmm. It'll be tough to get better, but it keeps happening. So yeah, they're going to be lethal another year come around.
It's very apparent that these talented, good players want to play in the Big 12 just because of, you know, how competitive it is. So it's cool to see how talented this conference is and how competitive it's probably going to be next year again. So that's something definitely to look forward to. You want to get into TCU? There was a lot of TCU news. And I guess if you want, the biggest news probably was on the women's side. There was a pretty crazy
day. Let's talk about women's.
On the women's side. So yeah, take us through that. Because we know obviously Haley Van Lith from LSU and previously Louisville is coming to TCU. And we thought for a couple seconds that she was joining Haley Cavender. So what happened with Haley Cavender? Cause obviously they won't be playing together. Do we know that if Van Lith coming meant that Cavender was leaving, or was Cavender leaving either way? Or do you know how that kind of happened or anything?
Yeah. No, I'm not as tapped into the behind the scenes of women. So I was kind of blindsided by myself. Because I think everybody in the country thought for a second it was gonna be the Van Lith Cavender, the Haley duo there, which would have been fun for fans everywhere. But no, because a couple of days before that was when Hannah Cavender, her twin sister, announced she was returning back to go play in Miami. And I think initially that was kind of a red flag, being like, if she was going to come back, why wouldn't she play with her sister? And then it turned out that she was going to play with her sister. So that was, I think that was kind of an out of nowhere type of thing that I didn't expect. And then, but yeah, what Campbell's done in the portal to replenish his team, like, I think you can make an argument, and it might not even be a tough argument, it might be pretty obvious, that Haley Van Lith is obviously the most popular TCU athlete. Mm-hmm. Out of any sport, which is kind of cool to have it be a women's basketball player, you know, some new, you know, not football or men's basketball or anything. Like, people are going to be tuned into these TCU women's basketball games, and it's a cool thing to happen, just to have your school be put on the map a little bit more. And not even just Van Lith, like, we added Maddie Scherer, we added the guard at USC, we got an Oregon State guard. Yesterday, we're bringing back Sedona. And we have some other returning talent too. So this team's going to be stacked, and this team's going to be fun to watch, because obviously Van Lith is a massive name, and everybody's going to be wanting to be tuned in to see that one.
Yeah. And then also Sedona Prince is another one of those big names that most people, I think, in the college basketball world know about. Sedona. So she and Haley kind of together is probably the biggest, like you said, the biggest, most popular athletic duo at TCU right now, I think, which is pretty crazy and pretty cool to say. But yeah, Mark Campbell's done an insane job. And, you know, last year's team, TCU's getting some pieces back, right? So I think it's just going to be, I think they really do have a chance to be, for, I mean, first of all, super improved, but really one of the better teams, you know, just on paper next year. I think they've got to be up towards the top of the list.
Yeah, and if Haley Van Lith is listening out there, we'd love to have you on the Frog Fever Pod. Yeah,
that's right.
Get a talk, Maddie Scherer, anybody. We'd love to get to talk to any one of those, any one of the players. So
yeah, we would.
Yeah, I'm hyped to watch this team this season, and yeah, I'm gonna be tuned in a lot more than I was before for sure.
Yeah, very cool stuff for Campbell and TCU. All right, so back to the men's side, we had a couple commits, one decommit. Take us through the last week and a half of what's gone on with TCU transfer portal on the men's side of things.
Yeah, so last time we talked, I mean, Frankie Collins was the only guy we had on, and I think it was even before CJ Walker decommitted too.
Yeah,
so
it was.
I mean, we were kind of putting a pickle right after that last pod drop because we, you know, so much stuff happened right after.
Yeah,
but yeah, Noah Reynolds, the first guy, I think it clicked right away, and they get a great visit, and I feel like we kind of had a good grasp on wanting to get a guy who can handle and you know, multiple guards that can handle the rock, because it wasn't as good of a position as it was before. So Noah Reynolds is a guy who put up 20 points a game at Green Bay. He took Green Bay from the bottom of that conference to, you know, closer to the top, and he was really doing it on his own. A lot of pick and roll, which I think is going to be valuable with Uday.
Yeah.
And then yeah, he's just a flat out scorer. So you add him and Frankie Collins together, two guys who can handle the ball. I think that's a great backcourt. I think it's out of the portal. You're probably your number one thing you have to address, and we were able to get it done. And then Brendan Wenzel was the kind of the next domino. I think, again, we felt pretty good about him out of his visit committing. And obviously the cool wrinkle there that I feel like TCU fans know at this point is that he actually played a couple of years with Noah Reynolds at Wyoming. And Wenzel's cool because I think what's so underrated in the transfer portal is not just getting talented guys, but getting guys who can fit your system, getting guys who know how to play their role. And I think Wenzel is exactly what we needed, by just a bigger guard who can play that 2-3 and just be able to be a flat out sharpshooter. So just extend the offense in the half court. Yeah, so above not just the talent from these two guys, I think it both fits what we're trying to do great, because they're both athletic, they both can play fast, but they also help a lot in the half court by the pick and roll, like I said, and the knockdown shooting. So I'm stoked with what the foundation we're at there, but I mean, we're not even done yet. I still think we get a couple more guys, so I'm stoked to where we're at.
Yeah, and then the other thing that kind of happened was, as you mentioned, CJ Walker decommitted after like 1 or 2 weeks of being committed. Is that something to be concerned about, or is, you know, what happened there?
Yeah, there's a ton of rumors going around, and I honestly don't even know for sure. I mean, people were saying like academic stuff, people were saying other things. I actually don't know, but I thought Walker would be a good fit for us, but I also don't think it's like a detrimental loss in that sense. Obviously, he would have been a great experience, athletic, big, and we do need to fill that spot at big, and I think we're looking at bigs who can do that. So, it was kind of out of the blue. It was also kind of weird because, personally, like, I try to follow the recruiting as best as possible, but I hadn't even heard, you know, that we were close to getting Walker before it happened. So it was kind of like an out of the blue thing that happened, you know, just out of nowhere. And it was, you know, I was excited at the time, and then he came on campus and out of nowhere he decommitted. But I don't think it was anything like bad blood related. Like, obviously You wish him the best. I didn't think it was anything crazy coming out of both camps. But it always sucks when you lose a commit like that and a transfer with talent. But again, I don't think it's the end of the world, and I think we've been able to bounce back with some of the guys we're looking at so far.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Take us through kind of who we are looking at. I know there's a couple more visits coming up. There's been some visits. Take us through like what to expect moving forward. How many guys does it seem like TCU is going to look at taking? All that kind of stuff. What do you think about those things?
So I think the two guys right now, well, recording this pod on Saturday, we had four visits over the past week, or I guess like Khalif Battle was more the week before, but Khalif Battle, I don't think anybody, I think the visit went well, but I think he's just such a high profile guy that it's tough to be able to land such a big name like that, you know, being one of the best players at Arkansas and stuff like that. So I was never really expecting him to us to have a great chance in that department. He dropped his top three and we're not in there too. And then Matt Cross was the other guy who committed to SMU just yesterday. And we had him after Tre'Davious White. And I think, in my opinion, I think Tre'Davious, if we got Tre'Davious White, he would fit what we do even better than Matt Cross. So the two guys I'm counting on, or that I would be hopeful for, is Tre'Davious White, who's out of Mansfield. He would play at UNC Wilmington. He's that like that 3-4 type guy, which we need to be able to start at that forward position. You know, kind of the position that Walker had before he decommitted. But I mean, White dropped 20 points a game at UNC Wilmington. He can kind of create off the dribble and, you know, a good shoot. I mean, he's just kind of a do-it-all type of guy. He can handle that big and even be able to go back to the basket when you ask him to. Just an athlete that I think would fit us perfect. We're in his top three with TCU, or with us, Mississippi State and Baylor, I believe, is at the top three. But yeah, it's a cool story because he was like best friends with Trey Tennyson growing up. So I think that's kind of a cool wrinkle to add here. I think Trey put in a good word, and I don't know for sure. I think he's expected to visit to OV here another time. I think this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, but either the next day or the day after that. So hopefully that goes well. And I think he's still scheduling additional visits with Mississippi State later on and K-State, maybe, I believe. So he's still probably feeling it out, and I saw him even tease some stuff with Texas Tech, which I guess is something to keep an eye on. And I think he'll probably announce his decision mid-May, I think around May 15th, I believe. So I don't know for sure how confident I am with his decision coming to TCU, but I think there's a good chance there, more than a Khalif Battle or a Matt Cross, which is exciting to know for that sense, especially because he was great friends with Trey. And the other guy was Anthony Dell'Orso, who's the big guard out of Campbell. He again dropped 20 points a game. He's out of Australia, which is kind of cool because if you know Matthew Dellavedova, he's out of Australia. His nickname is Deli.
Deli.
Yeah, and people call this guy Deli. So he'd be a great, I think you could start him at that 2-3 again. I mean, he's just a flat out scorer. A guy, you know, bigger guards who transfer out of small schools. Yeah, I mean, he's got all the tools in the bag. I've seen him compared to Dalton Knecht, which is probably too much of a comparison, just because of Knecht being one of the best players in all of the nation last year. I think it's unfair. But yeah, I think we really liked his visit. Yeah, we another we I don't think I think last year proved that you can't ever be too deep on guards, and our freshman class outside of Ashton Simmons really isn't that dominant ball handling guard. Like Punch Diallo and Micah are all forward slash bigs. So I think, and Jace is probably a 2-3, and then Isaiah is probably a 3-4 type guy. So getting guys who can handle the ball is great. But yeah, I love his game. He can shoot, he can pass, he can facilitate. Again, another great pick and roll guy. I think we're really looking at the pick and roll effectively, because we saw in the half court that was one of our biggest success when Uday's rolling, is getting him in the pick and roll and getting guards who can kind of facilitate with that. Would go great with what we're trying to do on offense. So I don't know how close we are in Delorso too, but I think there's a good shot there, and I don't know when he's expected to announce, but that would be a huge benefit for now. But that's all the visits I know for now. Obviously things change so fast, like you guys could commit out of nowhere tomorrow, or visits could come up. But I think those are two of the guys to keep an eye on, and I think if we get those guys, we feel really good about the roster going into next year.
Yeah. Cool. That sounds good. So it's, yeah, it sounds like they're going to take a couple more. They're open to taking a few more guys, which is good. Like you said, the depth, especially guard depth, was a bit of an issue last year. And you know, being able to address that would be really nice. One question I have for you that we've kind of mentioned a couple of times. I don't know if there's any developments on it, but you had mentioned Jameer exploring the
Oh,
possibility of
yeah.
Weaver. Is there anything new with that?
Yeah, I heard there was a 95% chance it wasn't happening.
Okay.
So most likely not. And I think
Okay.
with our activity amongst guards, yeah,
Okay.
it yeah, that came back to me like a week or two ago, which kind of sucks because it would have been so valuable. But I think we've done enough with the guards to be able to patch that, I guess, as best we could.
All right. And then I guess the last thing we have is just the news that Jakobi Coles is heading to Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon had a good year last year. They were a tournament team. Obviously, we don't want to talk about their tournament run too much on this
Yeah.
podcast with you, but they did advance past the first round. That's a pretty good team. I mean, they always kind of seem to have a decent team. Like I think they've done a good job the last couple of years. And so I think him joining that team, I think he could really blossom into almost his first or second option, which I think we saw at the beginning of last season for TCU. He was TCU's, you know, first or second option. He was scoring really well. You know, he was one of TCU's most consistent offensive guys before he got hurt during that stretch. But happy for him. Hopefully, things work out there and he, you know, is able to kind of shine in a what seems like a good situation for him.
Yeah, that's an interesting move for sure, because we've seen him and Micah both in ESOM 2, Middle Tennessee State. Obviously, he
That's
wasn't
right.
as big of a piece the past 3 years, but yeah, we've seen Jakobi and Micah get interest from big time schools, and they were two of some of the top transfers in the portal. And obviously, we know they can both play, but it was interesting because they both, I think, kind of transferred down a little bit. So again, that leads for more opportunity. And yeah, the GCUs, I mean, they run the WAC every year, and they yeah, they had the tournament win last year. They had a guy like Grant Foster, who's, you know, NBA prospect type guy. So they can develop for sure. And I think, yeah, I think Jacoby's gonna flourish there with more opportunity. Yeah, we've seen him be great. He's the best player in our tournament game, and he, you know, shows up in big moments, and he can, if he can play more at his own pace. The thing that was cool about Jakobi too is I don't even think we were necessarily the best fit for him play style wise. Like he was kind of more of that half court guy, which helped us. But in terms of being a crazy athlete, he's more of like a patient, smart shooter type guy who can, you know, always makes the right play type of guy. So I'm excited to watch him at GCU, and I'm excited to watch Micah at Georgetown, because I think they can both have big roles where they can be stars in their respective teams.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited to see both those guys. Kind of get a good opportunity to step into a role they didn't necessarily get at TCU, so that'll be cool to see.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's about all we have. Is there anything else you have before we
No,
wrap
yeah,
up?
I'm excited, you know, probably come back whenever next as long as the transfers news keeps coming, we'll probably come back with more episodes and guests and stuff like that. But yeah, before we kick into the Punch interview, I know, yeah, great interview. Stick around for that. He was great. Everyone we talked to, like I harped on this before too, everyone talked to you who's coming in on the team next year has all been great interviews.
Yeah,
And
really good.
yeah, they all seem like they're going to mesh well together and have a good team camaraderie and team play style to bounce off each other. So yeah, I'm even more excited about the team next year than I was. You know, I feel like I'm getting more excited by the day, just getting ready for next year as the roster kind of fills out. So it's an exciting time to be a Frog fan for sure with all this youth movement coming in.
Just a big thank you to David Punch for joining. He was fun to talk to and gave us some good insight on, the recruiting process and what he wants to do next year at TCU, all that kind of stuff. So stick around for it. It's coming up right after this break, right here.
For sure. Let's do it. All right, now on the Frog Fever podcast, we have another very special guest, the sixth best recruit in TCU history for 247 Sports, part of the best class in TCU history, power forward David Punch. And Punch, we want to thank you for coming on first. And I kind of want to start at your recruiting process because you kind of had a long recruiting process, more than even some other guys. Like a lot of your offers didn't even start rolling in until last spring slash summer. Did you enjoy that longer process, and how was that recruiting, process for you?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it, being the only person out of my family to be able to do that. And just being able to go on those trips with them, and that was really my biggest thing and what I enjoyed most about it. I mean, seeing the colleges was fun, but just being with my family through all that, that was probably the most, enjoyable part about all of it.
Was there like a moment or a game that kind of led to all the offers starting to pick up that you remember?
I don't remember a specific game, but if I had to say, it was probably during Peace Jam. Just all
Yeah.
those games that really got me all this attention.
Yeah, you mentioned Peace Jam too, and you played for Drive Nation for the UIBL, well, under Jermaine O'Neal. What was that process like? And the circuit's obviously such a huge deal for high school recruits, and getting to be able to play with all those guys is obviously a unique process. Did you enjoy it, and how was it?
I really did enjoy it. Coming from, smaller teams, that was my really first time, being on such a big stage, and I was really excited for it, but I didn't know what to expect really. And Jermaine, he was able to bring that to me. He didn't pamper me. He threw me right in there, and I think that's what got me so ready, to perform. And first game was like was I didn't think it was gonna be like that. It kind of came pretty easy, but I guess that's from what he was showing me and stuff. But just it was super super exciting summer, man. I think about it a lot, and I wish I could again.
Yeah, you talked about Jermaine. What was it like getting to be coached by him, and how would you say he is as a basketball coach?
And he was a really good coach. He was one of my favorite coaches, honestly. In the short amount of time I was with him, he just taught me a lot about, having to, take this moment, take this opportunity, and, it's a short window. I got to run with it, because at the beginning of my process, because I was playing for different teams at the time, at the beginning of the summer, I was kind of, going back and forth, and I wasn't, officially with Job Nation. I wasn't officially with the other team. So, he just sat me down. He talked to me about, how I got to take this opportunity. Like, this is a big opportunity. I can't, pass up on this or take too much time on it, because, I'm not the only person that want to play basketball, so, make a quick decision there. And he just really taught me, and showed me that I can do this. I'm supposed to be here. So.
Yeah, and after that summer, I mean, you shot up big time, ESPN 100, all that kind of stuff. And you announced you were playing in that summer to Dynamic Prep out of the DFW area, if I'm not mistaken. But then you decided to return back to Harker Heights, where you've been playing your whole life with guys since, like fourth grade and all that stuff. What was that process like going back and forth, and how important is loyalty to the guys you've been playing with, playing to that decision?
Honestly, it was a really long decision. I mean, when I had first made it, I was kind of just being around all the Drive Nation guys, because I wasn't really down here. I was in Dallas a lot, so just being with them, it kind of convinced me, I should do this. But after coming back home after EYBL, and being able to settle down. You know, I think I had like 2 weeks, you know, to myself before school started and stuff like that. So that 2 weeks, I really, you know, thought about it, and it hit me like, I want to be with the guys I've been with since middle school. Like, I've known these dudes even before middle school, actually. So it just felt, even them like that, you know, I knew that they weren't going to have anybody good. You know, they weren't going to be good if I wasn't going to be there. So, and no disrespect to them, but I just felt like that was wrong for me to leave them like that. You know, I love them, you know, and now from that, from me making that decision, I feel like, you know, I got friends, you know, for a very long time. So, I just think I made a good decision.
Yeah. Yeah. So you decide to stay at Harker Heights. Do you have a favorite memory of a high school basketball memory with Harker Heights that kind of sticks out to you?
It's a lot, but I know my sophomore year was a great year. We had a really good team, and we were playing in the Mansfield tournament. It's a big tournament in Dallas, and we actually won the tournament. We beat Mansfield Timberview in the championship game. I think we went to double overtime, and we were ranked fourth in the state at that time, and Harker Heights never been that far. That was really big for us, and you know, being with guys, that group of seniors, like, it was amazing. It was an amazing time.
Yeah, that's hype stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
And when you so you pulled up to TCU for your visit, if I'm not mistaken, to the SMU football game this year.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience like, and how was that OB?
Man, it was, because I'm not a big football fan, so me going to that, it was kind of, you know, just I wanted to see what, you know, the fan base was about. You know, they're gonna come out, and they did. It was really packed. It was a lot. It was a lot of people there, and it was super fun. You know, I seen some of the players there, and it was a great experience overall. It was real, real hype.
Yeah, it was a good game.
That was really good.
So you eventually choose TCU over Penn State, North Carolina State, I believe. What went into the final decision where you decided that TCU was the place for you?
Honestly, when I came on the visit, I just felt like they had so much for me, you know, about me. You know, they was able to break down my game all the way to a T, you know, show me what they're going to do for me, what I could do for myself, and, you know, what I could provide for what I already got to the team. So that alone was just like, you know, they really care about me. You know, they really brought everything to the table. They laid it all out for me. And, you know, also they've been like recruiting me for, you know, I think since my sophomore year, actually, too. So they've been with me. You know, they even had stuff from back then when I came to the elite camp my sophomore year. They had stuff from that day, and, you know, they've been tracking me since, like I said, my sophomore year all the way till now. So I was just like, you know, when I sat down and when it came down to it, I was like, TCU is, they're gonna love me. You know, they've been doing it for 3 years now, showing that they love me. So I just couldn't pass up on that. You know, showing what other schools are doing, they really came out on top.
Yeah, and we kind of play that fast break style of play. Does that style fit your game, and how do you like playing that fast?
Honestly, it's funny you say that, because even before, like, EYBL really brought it to my attention that, like, this is what I can do. You know, I like to jump. You know, I like to get on a run. A lot of, you know, bigs can't run with me in transition. So EYBL showed me that. I was like, you know, I want to be able to, you know, do this more. Like, this is, you know, I was like, this is my game. You know, I can really make a lot out of this. So TCU doing that, you know, I think that's going to be a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously you haven't gotten to spend, I would think, a ton of time with Jamie Dixon yet, because, you know, you're not there yet. But what was it during the recruiting process that you liked about Coach Dixon, or what kind of stood out about him?
He was really honest with me. You know, I know he was recruiting me, but he was also very honest with me, and I appreciated that. You know, my family did too. And he's a real cool guy. He was real, real, real chill. You know, he's real cool to be around. And I was like, you know, I want that. You know, that kind of matches what I don't do too much. You know, I'm real cool. And, you know, he was kind of the same way. So I was like, if I can match my, you know, my coach match me, I mean, what's a better fit than that? Be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to pull up to a game with Ashton Simmons earlier this year. Have you gotten a chance to talk to other freshmen and any current players yet, and how is that dynamic building?
You know, I talked to Micah. I've talked to him more than the rest of the incoming players. But, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to be too much to, you know, get to know them. I think it's going to click as soon as we, you know, step foot on campus. But aside from my, I've talked to Isaiah. That's about it though. Just those two. Not too much, but I definitely talked to him. So we got a little bond, but you know, I can't wait to, you know, meet those guys and then just be around them a lot.
Yeah. We, Isaiah and Micah both have been on the pod. They're friends of the pod. So, did you ever get to play against any of the other, three guys in the class?
I played against Micah a couple times,
okay.
Man, coming from freshman year. I haven't played him recently, but you know, I remember playing him a couple times and it was kind of cool that he's actually going to the, you know, same college as me. Cause back then, you know, I didn't know, like, I'm gonna be honest. I didn't like him cause he beat me all the time. Every time I played for Southwest, Texas, every time we played him. So I didn't like him. I was like, you know, I don't like this dude. And then I seen him, he committed here and we started talking more. And it's like, you know, this dude's mad cool. So I think that's going to be kind of a really good bond.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we talked about those guys in the class too. I believe you're the last of the four guys to commit. Did knowing what the other guys, like the class you'd be joining, obviously best class in TCU history, impact your decision there?
I'm going to say, yeah, I mean, it did have a little it was definitely a part of it. I mean, seeing, like I said, Micah, he's even talked to me before I come into here. You know, he talked to me a little bit, and no school, no other commits did that from any other school. So, I mean, that just really was showing, you know, how much of a impact, you know, we can have as freshmen. You know, we have a, you know, really good bond. I mean, that alone just, you know, that's going to carry us. So.
Did the fact that you got to stay in Texas, stay close to home with TCU, did that play a part in your decision, or was it more basketball stuff that played into it?
It definitely did play a part. In and of my, you know, when I dropped my top seven, you know, I was really unsure about, because I hadn't went on any visits at the time. I was really unsure about it. So I was really just, you know, like, TCU's looking real good just because they're close. And, you know, my dad sat me down, a couple of coaches sat me down from high school, and there was like, you know, you can't base it all off that. And, you know, basketball, what, like I said, they had, you know, they really laid it all out for me, you know, breaking down my game, showing me what I can do better, and what I can already provide to the table. I was like, and they're already close to home too, so that's a plus. And, you know, it's just, I think it's a great overall, like, aside from basketball, it's a great fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking about your game a little more too, like, you're that four, that big man that we kind of need, that athletic, big effort player. How would you describe your play style to Frog fans? And do you have like a pro comp you can throw on it?
Pro comp, I don't know. I've always been, people have always like said different things. I honestly can't even remember. I've never really like tried to compare myself. I can say who I want to be like, but
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to be like that guy that just makes the winning plays, honestly. You know, whatever, even if it's not scoring, like I'm going to be honest, I could really care less if I score as long as we win. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do all the dirty work. Like, that's what I kind of pride my game off of. You know, I've always been honest with myself, and it's always been, you know, I might not be the best at whatever, 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 but I know when I step on the court, like, I'm going to give it 100%. Like, nobody's going to outwork me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what kind of carried me all the way till now. And, you know, getting all these schools to talk to me, it's just like, not a lot of people like doing that type of stuff. And, you know, I've always find kind of had fun doing that type of stuff. So.
Yeah. So the last couple of years at TCU, it's their, one of their strengths has been the experience that they have. They have had some older guys with a lot of experience that kind of run the show for them. And next year is looking more and more like it's going to be kind of this youth infusion. You know, you four coming in with Jace Posey and Isaiah Manning, who redshirted, and then guys like Ernest Udeh, who's still a young guy. What do you expect from the team next year? Kind of this young, new style that TCU fans really haven't seen in a while. And as well, you know, also, what are your expectations personally for next season?
I would say personally, you know, just really do whatever they need me to do. I mean, that's kind of what, you know, I've talked to the coaches about. You know, I'm just going to do what they need me to do. If that's scoring, if it's playing defense, it's rebounding, whatever it is, even if it's all in one, you know, I'll do it. You know, I really expect us, you know, like you said, this new style, you know, I really expect us to come out, you know, gunning for everybody, like, you know, the team, it's a lot of young dudes. So I don't expect us to back down from nobody, like, regardless who it is. And I just can't wait to, you know, see that fire in everybody, you know, when it's, game day and we coming out against a big opponent, you know, like that's what I'm excited for. Knowing that everybody's coming with a purpose, like we coming for everybody type thing. So
yeah, I mean, you give that the Frogs that athletic big that we've been kind of needing recently. It's almost that perfect fit there. But in terms of getting with the team and off-season program plans, I know like late May is kind of the ideal spot, but what are your plans this off-season and getting ready for the season?
Honestly, I come up May 30th, so I leave right after graduation. So I'll be up here from May 30th, you know, to when we start school. So that whole time I'll be up here with everybody, and I'm excited for it. Honestly, I get all that time to be with them, to work on my game, to really get a feel for, you know, the next level. So I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, we like to ask our guests some general basketball questions to kind of get to know their tastes in basketball. Do you have a favorite basketball player of all time? Do you have a GOAT pick? We'd like to know all this kind of stuff.
My GOAT is LeBron James, man. At first I was a Jordan fan, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, just even like having the influence like TikTok and stuff like that. It did influence me a little bit because I didn't like LeBron at first, but mm-hmm. like LeBron's that guy. Like that's my GOAT. But my favorite player, honestly, it's Kyrie Irving, honestly. I really love watching his game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Breaks him down. Amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a nasty crazy play last night.
Yeah. No, that over PJ Tucker, that was wild.
Yeah. The and one. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah. And I watched a Day in the Life David Punch video to kind of prep for this. And I saw you eating that Chick-fil-A or McDonald's pregame. What's the go-to pregame meal now?
I don't like doing all that fast food stuff before pregame. I kind of just had to get some. Usually, it would be more on the healthier side. Like it'd be maybe even just a salad or like a sandwich or something healthier. I don't know why I did that. Like that was stupid, but usually something more on the healthy side, no matter what it is. But just it's more.
What are you listening to before games to get you going most of the time?
Oh man, I like Youngboy. I mean, I like Youngboy. I like Drake a little bit. I mean, sometimes I like to calm down before a game, but usually it's going to be Youngboy. I like to get turned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What kind of player? I know you said, like, do it all, big effort type of guy, but, like, are you shit-talking out there or are you kind of staying composed to it?
Oh, man. It depends on how I'm feeling, honestly. If I'm feeling myself, I'm going to talk crazy, too. I mean, I probably will talk crazy. I mean, just have some fun, spice it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got some, like, Jason and Isaiah have been on the pod, too. And, yeah, they've been talking about how they like to talk, too. So we could be that don't back down team next year, which would be kind of hype.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You mentioned, I have to ask, because it's kind of blowing up right now, but you mentioned Drake. Do you have any thoughts on this Drake, Kendrick Lamar back and forth that we have right now?
Honestly, I think it's entertaining. I mean, it's all at the end of the day. But I mean, whatever that with that doing them doing that right there, they bring in a lot of tension. So I think it's smart, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah.
All right, Punch. This has been awesome, man. I don't know if you had anything else, Davis, but yeah, I just want to thank you again for coming on. This has been great. We'd love to have you back on anytime and just kind of get a feel for what you got going on and how TC Hoops is going. So we appreciate you again and hope to have you back on.
Yes, sir. I hope to be back on too, man. This was fun.
Yeah, yes, man. Sir. Thanks for coming on. We're excited to get to watch you next year.
Sure.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too.
See ya. Bye.
That was David Punch, the sixth best recruit in TCU history, joining Frog Fever this week. Once again, want to thank Punch for coming on and chatting with Nick and I. Thank you to the listener, you, for continuing to come back and listen. We appreciate it. The offseason is going to look a bit different than the regular season. We'll kind of just come back and do a pod whenever something happens, whenever we feel like doing it. And hopefully we have some more fun guests for you coming up. So continue to come back. We're having a lot of fun and we appreciate you all if you're listening. That is all from me, Davis Wilson, and my co-host, Nick Germani, and we will see you next time. Thank you.